Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Trollo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Trollo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Welcome to the championship rounds of Trollo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. We're hoping to talk to Nate Burleson, former NFL wide receiver, in about 10 minutes. James Jones, another former NFL wide receiver and Super Bowl champion, set to join us at 9:30. And then the moment everyone's been waiting for, 9:45, it's Low, it's Dibs, it's Low versus Dibs. Both were on, you're on different sides for Thursday Night Football.
Apparently, yeah.
So Low had the Bengals and you had the Ravens.
Yes, that's
unfortunately.
Correct. That's correct.
And Low had a one-game lead after week one, so he's now two up heading into the weekend.
That's
yes,
true.
That's correct.
That's where we're at? Okay.
Yep,
and you will also be handing out your predictions for Triple G Canelo. Here's how that's going to work. I'm going to ask you for one prediction on the fight. You can do the rounds, you can do the side, but you get one prediction for the fight. So you might not be against each other. You can both win by picking different things. Someone could pick the over, someone could go ahead and pick Canelo. Those two things could happen. You could each win. So it will be up to you to determine what you want to do with that fight. Low versus Dibs. Week 2 rematch, 9:45. If you're Pierre Garçon and you're going up against Darius Slay this weekend, Pro Bowl corner last year, one of the best in the business, you're the highest paid receiver on the roster, you are supposed to be Garoppolo's number one target, what's going to be a reasonable level of production for Garçon? If he spends most of his day against Darius Slay, what should 49er fans expect from Pierre Garçon?
Expect him to go out there and try to win. And you expect for him to say, hey, look, Jimmy G, I'm going to get open. And it's usually some routes that you have by design and whatever. And you say, hey, look, and when we go two by two, look, I understand he's going to be pressing to him outside because you think I'm coming inside. I'm going to lean on him. Hey, we're going to work on this, and I'm going to pull away. Let the ball go. I'm going to get to this spot. Trust that I'm going to get open. There's a couple routes that guys like. Certain receivers like certain routes. They have to know the whole route tree. I get that. But at times, there's certain routes that guys do better. And that's what Pierre is letting know. He said, look, this is where my bread and butter. I like this play. Let's go. We're going to make sure we're on the same page. I will win on that route. And you do that with a receiver. You start getting on that same page with quarterback. And I'll tell you, the quarterbacks will just let it fly. They believe, they trust. And that's a trust situation. So Pierre Garçon needs to play big, even though you're on a corner that's a lockdown corner, you got to find a way to get open because you can't make this Jimmy G just go to one side. That's when you limit your quarterback. You got to find a way to get open. You're Pierre Garçon. They brought you in here for a reason. You got to make hay.
How often do you look that way, though? Knowing full well that this guy is one of two very dangerous players on the defensive side of the ball for the Lions.
Right.
There are nine other guys you can try to exploit. You've got other receivers and other pass-catching weapons. How often would you be looking, or would you be advising Garoppolo to look Garçon's way?
Well, you got to look at it in certain situations and say, okay, what are they going to do? If we got this guy going man-to-man, they're going to double. Let's just say we're going to double Kittle. We're going to double the tight end and say, okay, now you got one more receiver. At times, you got a running back, unless you go four wide. So it depends on certain situations. On certain situations, though, you look at Kyle Shanahan. Everyone's talking about in Kyle Shanahan, we trust. If that's the truth, then what you got to do is you got to do it by design and make sure you can get this guy on. And how do you get him open? By certain design, the two by two, the bunch look, and you run guys through different zones. You make sure that you got the bunch look. And how do you play definitely tight man-to-man coverage when you got that triangle look where you got a guy at the point and then two receivers behind, kind of like a little triangle, a bunch look. When you have it like that and those three go out, how do you necessarily play man-to-man on that type of coverage? That's what Kyle Shanahan has to show his weight. That's why he's brought here, to be able to get guys open. If both the point guy at the point, he's pushing up, and now you have Pierre Garçon underneath, another guy going underneath. You can't play man-to-man. It's impossible to play man-to-man in that type of situation. So by design, Kyle Shanahan need to find a way to get these guys open.
27-21. That's your projection based on the spread and the total. You've got an over-under of 48. You've got the Niners favored by 6. Niners 27,
Lions 21 gives you the 6-point spread and the 48-point total. So finish this sentence for me. In order for the Niners to score 27 points, blank. I'll do it again. Let it marinate there on the old dome. In order for the Niners to score 27 points, blank.
They can only turn it over one time. You can't have more than one turnover, however you want to say it, to make it fit your own fill in the blank. If you turn it over more than once, you don't get to 27 points. Because for me, when you talk about 27 points, you're not talking about four touchdowns and one missed PAT. It's probably more likely maybe three touchdowns and two field goals. It might even be more than four field goals to get there because your red zone hasn't been that efficient. So if you're relying on 3 points instead of seven a lot, you can't have turnovers. So my fill in the blank is they can only turn it over one time.
In order for the Niners to score 27 points, blank.
Jimmy G's going to have a big day. And it's going to be, you're going to have two, I think, 2 to 3, you know, touchdowns in the air. He's going to have to do it by in the air. So I really think the Niners win this game. In order for the Niners to get to fill that in, that blank is, it's going to have to be done by Jimmy G and by air.
What should we expect from the Niner offense when it gets to the red zone? This was a concern last year when Garoppolo took over. It was a concern of ours during the preseason. It was a concern in week one. And we highlighted it earlier for our three keys at 7:45, which we do every Friday. Lo, you brought up red zone offense.
Yes.
Last year, Detroit ranked 28th in red zone defense. In terms of teams getting into the red zone against the Lions and converting those trips into touchdowns, they did it 62% of the time. The only teams that were worse, Miami, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, surprisingly, and Cleveland. 28th in the NFL in red zone defense. So in order to convert this weekend, should we have a reasonable expectation? Because I can understand against Minnesota not getting in. It's Minnesota. I'm not going to really hold that against you because they are a first-class football operation. But against Detroit, based on these numbers and everything I've seen with my own eyes for 37 years, I would expect red zone trips more often than not to be converted into touchdowns.
Yes, and I think you're going to find that they're going to be more aggressive running the football inside the tackles. They tried to do it against Minnesota, and it didn't work out. Alfred Morris with the big fumble. On a previous play, they spread him out, and they tried to run it. I don't think that you'll go to so much trickery inside the red zone, so to speak, against Detroit. I think if you find them inside the 10, first and goal to go, you're going to see the big package come in. We even saw a defensive lineman come in the fullback spot.
Earl Mitchell.
Yeah, in one of those plays as they went to the big boys. I think you're going to see
he
more.
He got chopped. Was it by Harrison Smith or by Sendejo?
Take his
came
legs
in
out.
And just threw his body right at him.
Man.
Take him out of
make
the
a
play.
Pal. Make
took
a
him
pal.
Out, and then the linebacker came in untouched, clean, as Lowe would say, and he made the stop. I think against the Lions, you can use that same mentality and have more success because their defense isn't as ferocious, especially in the red zone, based on the number you just gave.
Yeah. I mean, like, is this has got to be a point of emphasis during the week, right? How does a team approach a red zone issue if it's to this magnitude?
Yeah, I think it's several ways. Inside the 2-yard line, you got to think about running the ball. If you're first and goal inside the 2, you got to run once. It's just you have to. You got to take the chance. And how do you do it? You can stand down, going toward the A gap, and have your running back read it out. A gap, but you usually block. It's usually down block. You're pulling guard or pulling someone in the backside, and now your fullback is leading, and you have A gap, B gap, and then C gap. What so many times if you watch plays and you watched it last night, at times Cincinnati tried to get to the perimeter. The running backs are missing the hole. You start down A gap. You have your off defensive tackle because you're going to jumbo and you're on the goal line. Your offensive tackle is blocking down. Your tight end is blocking up to the backer. And then you're having your fullback come at the edge, and usually there's a safety outside, and what happens is the guy's trying to get the wrong shoulder. You are trying to get that fullback to get his head inside at any cost necessary. Get your head inside, and now if you can get a kick out or even a stalemate, the running back shows flash outside because the safety and make him play air. You got to get your foot in the ground and get north and south and cut the defense. Those are plays, and then you're talking about on the goal line, the 2x2. And when you're doing that, going 4 wides, what you're doing when you're in that 10-yard spot, now if you have the running back in the backfield and you have on the backside, you have a receiver that's doing a drag, because usually on the goal line or, you know, red zone or 20 in or 15 in, usually they play cover eight. That's four across, and then there's four deep. So what they're doing is trying to make you find those windows. That's what they usually defense is trying to do. So how do you do that? You're making sure to one side, you're pulling the safety, you have that corner, so the guy's getting wide, you're making sure you're underneath, and if you can have the one guy that's dragging across on the backside, you're finding holes and windows. So now you're booting the quarterback around. The running back is coming up to the guy's playing the first line of defense, up to the linebacker, and he's pulling him out in the flat. So now he has to make that safety either drive, and when he's driving down, there's usually a window for you to get the ball in there. It's by design, and that's what Kyle Shanahan is going to do. You'll see him move the quarterback. You'll see him starting to drag Pierre Garçon, you know, certain receivers across those different formations, on those routes, those zero routes, and across the formation to find the window for Jimmy G, because in cover eight and in cover four, you're running through windows as a receiver. You've got to find that window to sit down and make sure the quarterback can get the ball to you.
Quick departure. I'm about to ask everyone in this room a question, and then we'll jump back into the football. But this is a tweet from SpaceX, Elon Musk's company, yesterday, about 16 hours ago. SpaceX has signed the world's first private passenger to fly around the moon aboard our BFR launch vehicle. I don't know what any of this means. An important step toward enabling access for everyday people who dream of traveling to space. Find out who's flying and why on Monday, September 17th. If you could be on the first passenger flight that leaves Earth, goes around the moon, and comes back, would you do it? However, there's a caveat. If you pass, you never get another opportunity. You're either on the first one or you're not on any. Would you do it?
Yes. Yes, I would. And not only because of the BFR, which stands for Big Fancy Rocket.
Oh, nice. Really?
Well, I think knowing Elon Musk, it's probably Big Blanking Rocket.
Yeah.
But I went with Fancy because I'm trying to keep my job here in case I don't get to be that passenger.
An astronaut?
Yes. I don't like my chances at 50 years of age and with this physical makeup. But if I was given the opportunity, yes, and if I had to ask for approval from the wife and kids, they would be thrilled to see Daddy into space.
Okay, so it'd be your only opportunity. You get to be on the first ever flight that goes from Earth, around moon, and back.
On the big, fancy rocket.
If you pass, though, you never get the other opportunity again. This is your only chance to go to space. Do you do it?
I'm going to say no. As much as I would love to go to space, I'd love to go around the moon, the idea of the first one, and there's an issue, you know, I don't want to have any complications or anything, and I have, you know, young children here. I got to think of them first.
Fair point. Thinking about your family, whereas Dibs thinking about himself.
I'm actually thinking about my family because they would love for Daddy to be incinerated some thousands of miles away from Earth.
Exactly. Oh,
you kidding me? Yeah, I mean, obviously my kids are older, and you'll get there. You'll see.
I got dark in a hurry.
And you'll get to the point where you really want to take that trip.
Yes.
It's a 50-50 proposition. It makes it. Hey, good enough for me.
In 10 years, Dean will be packing your bags. Trust me, Mama. That's how it works.
Don't say that.
One opportunity.
Yeah.
One opportunity. You're either in or you're out. And if you pass, no big deal, but you never get to do it again. Would you take the first flight around the moon?
No. And I'm so you would do it if it established itself, you would?
After I would even time, yes.
Yeah, even if it's...
That's
yeah,
not... That's,
yeah.
Unfortunately, no, it's not the question.
So imagine that Anna's waiting until it's actually established before she throws her hat in the ring.
Right. Yes.
That's a surprise.
100%.
All right, new question. Yeehaw. Would you go to the moon if you were guaranteed to live, be safe, and when you came back, there was $1 trillion waiting for
you? Of course.
So anyone on the other side, anyone going to turn that option down?
I wouldn't go if it's the first time. I wouldn't go if it's the last time. It's not just not important to me. So
you have no interest whatsoever?
No.
Nah. Any particular reason why? Just out of curiosity?
It's space. What are you? Okay, you're going to get on a plane and you're going to fly around the moon. You're just going to go see the space. It's boring. It's space, bro. You're going to get on an airplane. It's hard enough flying 4 hours to New York. You darn near can't see the ground when it depends on how you're in the clouds. You can't see. And you're looking at a window for 4 hours. You try to fall asleep. What are you going to do? Once you get into space, oh, I'm in space. You're looking around. There's nothing. It's space. Hey, dude, and then go circle around the moon and then come back. Forget it.
Instagram, selfies. My feed would be blowing
up.
You probably get
to be weightless. That would probably be pretty
That'd
cool,
be
although you could do that on Earth. You're going to get to see the Earth in a whole new light. I mean, you get to look out the window.
I appreciate
the take, though. It was a very impassioned take
Great take. Rack that guy.
Just
great.
Anti-space.
I'm not just like,
what's the big deal? Space. That's why they call it space. They don't call it Disney World.
Right. When you get up there, you guarantee people are going to be bored. Like, okay.
I don't know. A first trip into space, you think people would be bored? The idea that you just left the planet? I believe it's, hold on, what do they say? Only 24 humans have ever been to the moon.
Yeah, boring. It's because it's so dull. Nothing there.
Yeah.
You know?
Space. Right. That's why no one goes.
You can really Chipotle. Do a lot of thinking there.
I'd rather go to Burning Man.
You're going
to
look around, man. You're going to get up there, okay, and you're just circling around the moon. You're going to. You're probably not going to stay. You're going to, okay, I'm looking, I'm staring. It's darkness. You're in space. You're not going to see everything all the time. That's bullcrap.
First of all, as soon as I get into the orbit, it's going to be a celebratory. Dude, can you believe that? That's the moon,
Stop
bro.
Stop traffic.
Can
Stop
you
traffic.
Believe it? I didn't see the no smoking sign was on. Dude, the moment, who knew the moon was so
you.
Big,
you would be
bro?
Ejected out the side door like the movie Aliens.
Floating. Are we going to go around the sun too, bro?
Yeah, let's get close to
what
the sun.
What if you got to land on the moon? Now, if you got to physically land on the moon.
Yes.
That, now you're in for that.
Yes.
Now tell me why that's exciting.
Because now I'm actually out there. I can touch the surface and I get to see the crust. I get to touch it. And then we dig down a little deeper, get to touch the core, the crust.
Don't forget the mantle.
Well, it's not Armageddon. You're not going to be drilling into.
Journey to the center of the earth. I don't know if the moon has a mantle, but
you're not going up there with an oil rig.
let me push the button. I got it. Get back on the ship, Joe and Dibs. I got this.
But the idea of being out in space.
Yeah.
Now
I'm getting the walk. I get to jump. I get to feel like I'm Superman for a second. I'm jumping from rock to rock. I'm actually getting some dirt and scooping it up and bringing it home. Now I'm doing something just to circle the moon. I don't want to do it.
All right, let's make it darker now. You get to go to Mars. You're going to be one of the first humans on Mars. They're going to send, let's say, 12 people. 12 of you are going to Mars. You are going to colonize Mars. You'll be the first people to ever land on Mars and the first people to ever live on Mars. However, you will not be coming back to Earth. Under any circumstances, you will go to Mars and you will last as long as you can. You will be with people who understand what they're doing. You will be helping them to set up infrastructure and to find a way to learn and research the planet. If you do this, you will become one of Earth's greatest heroes. You will have a monument in Washington. Your family will be taken care of forever. They will be protected forever. They will be given all the money they need and all the resources they want to enjoy their time on Earth. However, you will never see them again. Would you colonize Mars?
No, I'm not interested in colonizing Mars. I'm interested in a trip around the moon or even a visit to the moon or Mars, but I wouldn't want to just put a wrap on my time here on Earth and colonize Mars. For who? For what? And especially if those 12 people...
To save Earth, essentially, and also to create a fantastic life for your family.
It'd be great. They're on their own, though, Coach, ultimately, you know? I've carried them about as far as I can. It's time they start pulling their weight.
Not at all.
Not at
did
all.
Did you not see The Martian? I don't know if you saw the one, the Matt Damon movie.
Yes, I did
yeah,
see it.
I just couldn't
it's
do it.
It's kind of the inspiration for the question.
Okay, I know. Well, that's why I'm like, no.
You wouldn't do it either.
I couldn't problem. Do it. No, all I'm right? going to stay here on Earth.
Now, for the big fella, if I had no family, and it was 12 people, and we said, okay, you're going to go out there and what were you saying again?
Colonize. You're going to colonize Mars. Earth, we're coming to an end. We don't have a lot of time left. You're going to go there, and you are going to try to set up a colony. If you can, you are going to save the planet.
If there were some things that I could had laid out, without a doubt, I would do it, Joe.
Such as female companionship.
You know exactly where I was going. Without a doubt. I would have to be there.
I've worked with you long enough.
No, I'm being honest.
So you'd like a little female companionship on Mars? I think the government could do that for you.
I would have to be the only one that's colonized. So it'd be on my seat throughout the Mars.
So I'm not sure. 11 Earth women is, and low is basically what he's saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, no, it's also like the movie Interstellar. You're going to go there with all the eggs. And you're going to go there with everything you need. Like, do you remember Anne Hathaway at the end? She's setting up the planet. You don't need to go. We're not sending you there to have sex. We're sending you there to set up infrastructure.
You're missing
now, you can have female companionship, but we're not. Earth isn't asking for you to be Adam.
That's
with 11 Eves.
But here's the reason.
That's the only way you're willing to do it?
Only.
And I said I'd have to be younger. Because there you go.
Yeah, we want you to be in shape.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that actual audio?
So I'm like, okay, so we have to go there and we have all the doing the colonization. And because, you know, I could do all the stuff, could teach, build, and have. And I would do that.
You'd only go if you'd be treated as God. It sounds like you need to be God. Or his son Jesus, in order for you to be willing to do something like this.
Squeeze!
Which is fair.
You know how messed up those kids would be down the road?
Squeeze!
Well, Adam and Eve did it.
Yeah.
And why was the kids messed up?
Think about how smart we'd be if we all didn't come from them.
That's real.
I'm not sure he wants necessarily. Wow, Clint wants his voice nice. Associated with this. Maybe we leave Clint out of this.
Sorry. There's a little drop wars going on. Steven played Squeeze, so I had to come back with an Azubuki right now.
I was going on.
I appreciate the honesty. Yeah, I appreciate the honesty. That's all we really want because guess what? No one's asking you to go to Mars. You can go back to Fresno after the show and you can enjoy your weekend. No one's forcing you to go anywhere. It's just a hypothetical.
That should be the script for Moonbase 8.
Well, Moonbase 8, we'll see about
nine.
That.
Have a nine.
We'll see about that. That's apparently, nine. It turns out it's a TV show.
That's true.
And it's going to be launching sometime in the future with John C. Reilly. So we lost out on the casting to that.
We tried, though.
We gave it our best. Maybe we'll play a little Moonbase 8 for the people later. Do we have the Moonbase 8 auditions?
We'll grab it.
Fantastic.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to get organized. I promise you, we are going to get organized. We're going to have a conversation with James Jones, Super Bowl champion, former Raider, coming up next. And then it's on to the big one. It's Lowe versus Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
Marshawn. The Bay Area's football station. 95.7. The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Now, we just spent five minutes going over his name. And we all settled on the fact that you were going to go with Triple G rather than Gennady Golovkin.
I know.
And at the last second, you pivoted back to the name. And what happened?
Well, I looked at this time and I was like, shoot, I'm running out of time. Let's just go with Triple G. But I started with like, and Triple G.
While you guys were out there, we had a whole, well, it's not so much a wish. I appreciate the attempt.
Awesome.
But she looks at me, she goes, she just was looking for confirmation.
Right.
Gennady Golovkin. She goes, all right. And then she talks to Steven and she goes, you know what? I think we're just going to go with Triple G. And
it's Triple
G? You know, more people know him as Triple G.
Yeah.
It's actually going to work out better for you. So Triple G. So I'm sitting here and I'm doing all this. And right when it gets to it, I go, you know what? I wonder if it's, and sure enough, tried to go with the full name and got bit on it. It's not an easy name.
No.
But to pivot from the easy to the hard at the last minute, like, I could understand if you're like, I'm going for it. I'm going for Gennady Golovkin.
I did.
And then at the last minute, you're like, I'm going, Alvarez, Triple G.
I had a momentary mind lapse. Yeah. So I was like, Gennady. And then I was like, which is G.
Yeah, we heard it.
No.
I know you did. I know. And the funny thing is, in the corner of my eye, I see you making that face. Like,
immediately. The whole thing, I stood right up and I looked to the back. I was like,
it's like the
you tell
Stooges,
James Jones, as much as I love him, he's going to have to wait a few seconds. Speaking of which, Super Bowl champion, 9-year NFL veteran, wide receiver, and former Oakland Raider. Check him out now. He's doing terrific work as an analyst for the NFL Network. James Jones with us here on 95.7 The Game. What's up, James? Are you a boxing fan at all? You going to watch the Triple G fight tomorrow night?
Oh, you know I'm tuned in for the fight. I got to see what goes on. I think Triple G won the first one. I think they robbed him. So, you know, I got to see what's going on.
All right. What do you think in the second one has in store for us? If it's not a draw this time around, who do you like?
Oh, it definitely ain't going to be a draw. Like Triple G, I think somebody's getting knocked out. I don't know who it is.
Lowe said that earlier, too. Lowe also on the side of a knockout. That could be quite exciting for us. Speaking of which, any chance we see a knockout in Denver this weekend? Your former team, the Oakland Raiders, trying to even it up in the win column. They find themselves as small underdogs at Denver. This is a tough spot, though, playing at altitude coming off that Monday night game.
Absolutely. I think they bounce back, though. I think they find a way to get it done in Denver. Obviously, it's a big-time pass rush coming after them, but I think they find a way to get Jordy involved, Coop involved, a lot of short passing games, getting the ball out of Derek Carr hands fast, and I think they find a way to win.
You're with Carr. You understand his willingness to study, the time that he puts in, because he wants to be great. You know this kid from Fresno, Bakersfield kid, and he just loves football. He's a football junkie. What do you say to a guy that's been through some struggles last year, bad, tough year, the year before, MVP type of year, and now with the struggles? What's the biggest thing you do to this guy getting back on course?
Just keep throwing it. Keep staying aggressive. I mean, don't try to limit the playbook or anything with Derek Carr. We know what he can do with the ball in his hands. We've seen him be special in this league. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl caliber player. So, you know, my thing as a coach, I mean, I would stay aggressive. I mean, he'll find his way out of it. I mean, he's a special talent. Throwing the ball, like you said, extremely smart, studies the game. So keep throwing it. And, you know, he'll find his way out and he'll get the ball into his playmaker's hands. But what I wouldn't do is, you know, tune back on the playbook and, you know, try to handicap or things like that, because you don't want to handicap a special player. So let him keep throwing it, and he'll have one of these big-time games here and light the league.
One of the themes that we've been hitting on this week is the idea of Amari Cooper getting more involved in the offense. What are some of the ways that the Raiders can use to get Amari Cooper involved early in this game against Denver?
I think moving around will be big, you know, putting them, you know, in the slot, you know, putting them outside, motioning them a little bit, you know, getting them some off coverage so he can, you know, run some, maybe some hitches, some slants, get the ball into his hands fast just to get him going, and then, you know, take some shots down the field. But I think for a receiver, once you touch the ball early, you start getting that confidence, and, you know, eventually the big plays will come. But I think to get him started in the short game, motion him, you know, move him around so he can get the ball in his hands, make some plays, break some tackles, get some yak, and then you start taking some shots down the field.
James Jones joining us here on 95.7 The Game. You know, when John Gruden signed that 10-year, $100 million deal, it raised the level of expectations for the Oakland Raiders. After all, they had guys like Khalil Mack and Derek Carr and Amari Cooper on the roster. Now, Mack is gone, and clearly a guy like Gruden is going to need some time to build the team he wants that can make a legitimate run at a deep spot in the playoffs. What's reasonable, though? Because I think fans are entitled to a certain level of expectation, but also fans can get a bit aggressive with their expectations. So how long should, what's a reasonable amount of time it should take for Gruden to get these guys back to the playoffs?
Man, I think the time is now, to be honest with you. And from me talking to Gruden when I was down there at training camp, I mean, he truly believes the time is now too. And whenever you got a special kid back there under center, I truly believe you always got a chance to win the ball game and go far in the playoffs and have a successful year. And the Raiders have that. So I believe once they get things clicking on offense, you know, Derek Carr get things going, and, I mean, you can run the ball well. You're going to keep that defense off the field, and you'll be able to put some points up to, you know, let the defense kind of lay their hair down and go after the quarterback and be able to bring some different blitzes and all that stuff after the quarterback. But I think the time is now. I don't think John Gruden is in the mindset of we're trying to build this thing and we'll be a playoff team in 2 to 3 years and this and that. He's all about winning now, and he knows that the expectations are high, and he wants to bring the Raiders fans a winning season. So I know now it's about winning for the Raiders.
Both teams here in the Bay, San Francisco 49ers and the Oakland Raiders, play two teams that probably two of the better teams in the NFL, let alone just the NFC. You see what Minnesota's been able to do. You see the Rams, they're a pretty dominant team as well, especially defensively. Both of those two teams, both quarterbacks struggled against these two teams. What about Jimmy G? What can you expect from him, the Detroit Lions? Here's a team, Detroit, that got motorboated last weekend. Is this a team you think is going to be on bounce back? How do you see this matchup, and what do you think about Jimmy G and the two quarterbacks that are up going at it this week?
Jimmy G is going to be fine. Derek Carr is going to be fine. I tell people all the time, man, offenses always start off a little bit slower than the defense. So early in the year, The worst thing that could possibly happen to you is going up against a big-time defense, because you're still trying to figure out, okay, what kind of offense are we going to be? We're going to run it. You know what I mean? We're going to spread them out. What's going to be our go-to formation on third down? We're going to be a quick game offense. We'll try to, you know, get the ball down the field. You're trying to go through all them growing pains. So when you run into a big-time defense that's already ahead of the curve, everybody's on, you know, one string, and they playing at a high level, that's tough for an offense, especially early. So both these teams ran into very good defense. I mean, arguably, probably, you know, going to, at the end of the year, be probably top five defenses. I'm not worried about them. Jimmy G will bounce back against the Detroit Lions, and I know the Detroit Lions is going to come out ready to play just because of what happened to them on Monday night against a young quarterback. But both these quarterbacks are going to be fine. I think Jimmy G bounces back. I think the Niners will beat Detroit. I think Detroit will play a little bit better, but they'll beat Detroit.
How challenging is it for Matt Patricia to go into a second week after the first week for Detroit was such a disaster? You get blown out, and then whispers come out of the locker room, reports that the players aren't happy with his methodology. What does he do to try to get the locker room back when something like this happens?
Winning cures everything. That's what I always go to. Whatever, you know, people say, you know, guys aren't listening to the coaches, don't like his practice, don't like the message he's preaching. Winning cures everything. And the way they played last week, I mean, I probably wouldn't like his message neither. I mean, they got beat up. They looked like they weren't, you know, into the game. They weren't flying around. You're turning the ball over. You got a veteran quarterback at Matt Stafford just, you know, giving away turnovers. They look terrible. So, I mean, what kind of message can you send your team if you're the head coach? So I think winning cures everything, and I think they'll eventually get it together. And, I mean, from training camp and, you know, preseason and all that, all they were saying was they love Coach Patricia. So winning to cure everything. When you take a tough loss like that, things like that happen, and things like that are said.
Super Bowl champ, 9-year NFL veteran wide receiver and former Oakland Raider. Check him out now as a terrific analyst for the NFL Network. James Jones with us on 95.7 The Game. James, one final question before we let you go. What did you think of your former teammate Aaron Rodgers and that performance in the second half against the Bears a few nights ago?
I mean, everybody's surprised except me. Yeah. I'm not surprised. You know, when I seen him trot back out there, I mean, I knew Aaron Rodgers was going to be Aaron Rodgers. I knew he was going to be lit, you know, mobility wise, but I knew, I mean, he got a short arm, so I knew he'd make some throws. And those throws that I seen on Sunday, I seen before in practice. You know, I was not surprised, but he gutted it out, man. I mean, he's a warrior, and he gutted it out, and he came out there, man, and put on a performance that surprised a lot of people except me, because, I mean, I know what type of guy Aaron Rodgers is, and I know what he brings to that football field. So I wasn't surprised, but it was good to see him come out there and just be a warrior and gut it out and make some of the throws he made.
Good stuff. James Jones, ladies and gentlemen. James, thank you for your time. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it, man.
It's amazing. His former teammates, I've seen it before. It's like that was,
ridiculous.
He was carted off the field. You weren't thinking about a second half comeback. You were thinking about his season being over. Everyone who was thinking the Packers had a chance at the Super Bowl, Rodgers had just signed that new contract. It was done. You're like, if that's torn, he's out for the year. The Vikings are going to cruise. And then he comes out and he shreds the Bears. If you're a Bears, imagine being a Bears fan. What that guy has done to you after 15 years of Brett Favre doing it to you. Just get out of the division.
Especially the way that game started. You've got your new acquisition comes in and just destroys the game, and you're thinking Super Bowl if you're Chicago. Yeah. You have just dominated the Packers. You've knocked Aaron Rodgers onto the cart and out of the game, maybe out of the season. You're thinking this is your year, and then here he comes, old Limpy McLimperson, back out, and he beats you. And for the Bears, it's just another week one loss.
How many drugs do you think they shot him up with that halftime to get him through that game?
Oh, he was feeling no pain. You saw
that post game interview.
He was loopy. He played a hell of a game. I mean, what he was able to do, you don't see that, but you see that by superstars, him, Breeze, you know, maybe a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning, but the way Aaron Rodgers came out and did that. But if you look at that game, what was the score of the first half? If you look at the first half and you say, what was the score? Friggin', they were up 17-0. You saw that. And what they scored in the second half? You know, six. So did Aaron necessarily win it? Did Chicago necessarily did nothing in the second half?
I'm not interested in your hot take. Rodgers went out and won it.
No, I'm on the other side of that. I thought Chicago. Aaron Rodgers is amazing.
He was dropping dimes, yeah. Coach. He got the ball late and went right. All the things we talk about great quarterbacks need to do.
He's
drive
great.
Him down the field at the end. They gave him the ball. He went down the field and won it.
He's a great quarterback. I'm not taking away anything. I'm just telling you.
You're taking a lot away from him. You're saying he didn't win that game.
What did Chicago offensively do in the whole second half? That's all I'm saying,
the same
Joe.
Thing Rodgers and the Green Bay offense did in the first half. Green Bay's offense was just as putrid in the first half as Chicago's offense was in the second half, so they were even. So what's going to be the difference maker? Aaron Rodgers.
If you're even, you're usually leaving. And I just thought Chicago really in the second half.
Is that even a line? If you're even, you're leaving?
Yeah, I hear it enough.
What's it mean? Where's it from?
Actually, it's just from certain guys that you watch play the game of football. And usually certain receivers, if they're even with the DB, usually they're leaving. Deion Sanders was guy, if he was even with you, he's usually leaving because you're not staying with him. LT, LaDainian Thomas, have you ever seen him get ran down? If guys are even
pay
with
the over
him,
he's on usually the LT reference. Yeah.
LeBron, too. If you're even with LeBron, he's leaving.
And Tom Brady, quite frankly.
I'd have to say so.
Yeah, yeah. And anybody, Paul George and all the good people of the Fresno you know, if you're from Fresno and you're even, then
yeah. You just opened up the door here, so be ready.
Yeah, talking about Fresno. Got a young lady from Fresno. You're talking about beautiful. So I told you guys, the Valley has not. Fresno's finest. We got some in here interning. Just tell you how great Fresno is.
Our new intern you just took a shot at.
Thank you.
Day one, you've been in the business, 22 years? You got an Emmy.
Sorry about that, sweetheart.
You're taking shots at interns. That's what he's alluding to.
Yes.
Talking about. What's her name, Lo?
Don't worry about it. It's not important. You don't just do that to my Fresno people, you know? God, how
rude. What's her nickname?
All right. Let's ease in. We've got a few seconds left before we've got to get to the good one. I got good news for Raider fans. So I did this research last night. Teams playing on Monday night and then having to travel to Denver to play on Sunday. The thought process would be that they get blown out, right? Well, it's only happened 8 times since 2002. 3-5 straight up, 5-3 against the spread. I would have thought that was a blowout situation. You play on a Monday night and then you have to go play at Denver in altitude. Since 2002, when the league expanded to 8 divisions, 3-5 straight up in that scenario, 5-3 against the spread. So not as daunting as we or others may have made it out to be. The Raiders don't have as bad a shot in this game as we might originally have thought. However, it is 9:45 and it is Friday. You know how we do it.
Throughout the history of time, legendary battles have been waged across the entire sports landscape. Ali versus Frazier, Bird versus Magic, Manning versus Brady, and now perhaps the fiercest rivalry of them all. Lorenzo Neal.
You gotta run. When you play football, newsflash, you gotta be able to run, Dib. So
versus Dan Dibley.
Quiet, Lo. Shut your mouth, Lo.
Every Friday at 9:45 during the NFL season. Who will win this epic showdown? Find out now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to year 3, week number 2, Lo versus Dibs. Including last night, when Lo had the Bengals and Dibs had the Ravens, your official records. Lorenzo Neal, 12-4-1. 17, yeah. I just wanted to make sure the math was right there. Dibs, 10-6-1. Yeah, I was doing the math, and I'm like, why am I so confused here? Lo, 12-4-1. Dibs, 10-6-1. Dibs, 2 game back as we get set to enter week number 2.
Look, Joe, it's amazing. Ain't nothing shaking but the leaves in the tree. And right now, Dibs, you shaking because you met me. He's a little nervous.
Thank you, Muhammad. Thank you, Muhammad Ali.
I'm even, I'm leaving, apparently.
Dynamite stuff.
Yeah, great drop in.
Now, I believe the way this works, we're going to do the remaining 15 NFL games on the schedule, and then at the end, we'll have predictions for Triple G and Canelo, the rematch, Saturday night in Las Vegas. But I believe because Lo won last week, he gets to determine whether or not he goes first. Is that how we do it?
I think so.
Okay, so would you like to go first, or would you like to go second on the opening pick? Because you'll have to go, you know, the other one. If you're going to defer, you'll go first on the second pick.
You know what? I'm going to defer. I'm going to let him go first.
Right? Dibs will go first, is what you're saying.
Go first, yes.
Okay. Okay, some music, please. Dibs, game number 1, Andrew Luck and the Colts. They fall short against the Bengals last week. They will travel to Washington to take on a 1-0 Redskins team.
I liked what I saw from Adrian Peterson, and I'm going to like it in week 2. I'm taking Washington in this one.
Anything different there?
No, Washington Redskins.
Washington as well. Okay, no blood in game number 1. Just ease up, everybody. Get those engines running. Ease up.
I wish I knew what kind of the schedule we're going, you know, and then I would, you know, it's interesting.
If only there was a way to look at the same website I use every week, and then with that information and knowing you get to make the determination, that pick.
I have my website up too.
I already made my pick, so I can go first every time. It doesn't matter.
There's so much trickery that needs to come into him just making picks. You're winning. You're up 2 games.
I want to crush him. I want to destroy him.
All right.
If he dies, he dies.
All right. So now you're up. Game number 2, it's Carolina at Atlanta. Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, NFC South Showdown.
Yeah, I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons. I know they got some injuries on that team, but I'm still going to take Atlanta.
Dibs?
I'm also going with the home team here. I'm on Atlanta.
Okay, 2-0, no blood. Dibs will stay with you. This is a tricky one. Minnesota's in Green Bay, but we do not know who will be at quarterback for the Packers.
Yeah, I'm counting on Kaiser quarterbacking for the Pack, and thus I'm taking Minnesota to beat Green Bay in that game.
Interesting. Low?
Minnesota as well.
Okay, no one wants to take the gamble on Aaron Rodgers, where you'd end up as a small all favorite. Okay, no blood as well. Next up, Low, the Chargers, your former team in Buffalo to take on Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Are you going to go with or against Fresno?
You know what? I'm going against. That's right. I'm staying in. I know you and Mr. Dibley have lost face in the Chargers. I know Dibs is going to go all Buffalo. They're at home. The place is going to be rocking. It's Buffalo. So I know you go that opposite way. I'm going to stay with the Chargers.
Go,
so,
Chargers, go.
Just to be clear, there was a big speech about how great Fresno is, and then the second Fresno works itself into the picks, you're going to fade Fresno.
Yeah, I'm Philip Rivers. I have my loyalty to him.
And not to your hometown. Interesting.
He's not from Fresno.
He's from Fireball, which is almost closer to the Bay Area than it is Fresno. He just can. Josh Allen, Fireball.
It counts as Fresno. If he said for 2 years going back to Wyoming, the kid's from Fresno.
Yes, because he knows the parents. So when he plays well, he's from Fresno. But when he doesn't, he's from Fireball.
All right.
I believe it's my turn to talk. You go ahead and take a powder over there, cupcake. I'm on the Chargers as well.
No!
Please.
Follow me that wagon.
No blood again.
Follow you on a favorite.
Damn. Chargers, go.
Yeah, we heard it.
Interesting one. The Texans find themselves as small favorites in Tennessee. Very small favorites, right around 1 point. We don't do the spread here, but it's the Texans at the Titans.
Yeah, and these games that are toss-up games, you usually side with a home team. And I'm not, though, this time. I'm going with Houston.
Houston. You got Deshaun Watson in Houston. Low?
I'm taking Deshaun Watson in Houston as well.
Okay. Okay. Follow. Still no blood. Here we go. Kansas City at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know what? I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like the home team. Yeah, you take the home team. So let's see. This time he takes the opposite. Let's see if he does it here. I'm going to take the home team. I'm taking the Pittsburgh Steelers. Where are you going, Coach?
Tips?
Pittsburgh is a team in turmoil right now. Big Ben may not play. James Conner's not going to get 30 carries again. I'm on Kansas City. The road victory. Go, Chiefs. Go.
First split. Dibs is going to take the Chiefs. Lowe's got the Steelers. Dibs, we're staying with you. Miami at the Jets to take on rookie Sam Darnold.
I like the Jets. I like the rookie. Tannehan is a mess. And Miami just lost their offensive lineman, Josh Sitton, on IR, gone for the year. So I'm on those Jets. Jets are going to be 2-0, Coach.
J-E-T-S, Jets.
Who would have thought that the J-E-T-S is going to be 2-0? Amazing. I like the Jets, too.
Follow me.
All right, we'll stay right there. Philadelphia, Nick Foles, extra rest in Tampa. Are we going to see a little bit more Fitzmagic this week?
Man, this is the one that flip a coin, because if you look at what Tampa Bay's been able to do, they might not give the belt back to Jameis Winston. The young Fitzpat, you saw Fitzy. He was unbelievable, throwing for over 400 yards. That's going to be a tough game, but I'm still going to take the defending Super Bowl champions. I'm going to take the road team.
Yeah, we knew it. We knew you would.
It's a classic low.
When in doubt, side with greatness. And I agree with you there. Thank you.
Well, no, when in doubt, you praise the team you don't pick. So on Monday, when Tampa wins, he'll come on and say, oh, I told you Fitzmagic. I told you Tampa was for real. But you took Philadelphia, son, so you won't get credit on Monday. I'm on Philadelphia. They're better. They're going to win. I'm pulling a low. I'm doing a low. That's what that's called.
A lot of talk for both guys to say the same team.
Great?
What a waste of everybody's time.
That was really good. Dibs. I was like, wow.
Dibs, the Cleveland Browns did not lose in week one. The Saints, however, did lose in week one. Cleveland, you got them in New Orleans?
No chance, Coach. New Orleans is my Super Bowl winning team, and if they lose and fall to 0-2, they probably won't even make the playoffs. So this is a close to a must win. I'm on New Orleans here, but low. Gives him some Hugh Jackson. I'm sure he'll take his Browns.
Nope.
No, I'm not going to go there. I'll tell you right now, though, Houston's going to play. You look at what they've
been. We got to keep it moving. So if you're just taking the Saints, take the Saints. It's the biggest spread on the board. We don't need the analysis. Arizona at Los Angeles. Another huge spread. Jared Goff and the Rams against Sam Bradford and the Cardinals.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Rams.
I'm on the Rams as well.
Okay.
Follow me.
We only have one difference so far. Chiefs and Steelers?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, next one up. Detroit at San Francisco.
I'm taking the Niners here, Joe. Jimmy G at home. It's a get-right game. We've said it all week. Niners will win.
Niners.
Niners as well. Sticking with you. Patriots at Jaguars. It's right around to pick 'em.
I'm going to go opposite of this guy. No, I'm going to take New England Patriots, of course. New England Patriots, they're going to win.
All right.
Yeah, he is going to go opposite me because I'm taking Jacksonville at home. Tommy B, not going to get it done.
That big is revenge dumbest, spot. That's the dumbest pick. Everyone's talking about the revenge spot. Here's what you got to realize.
Why is it such a dumb pick? You want him on the other side of everything.
Why
are you so mad that he took the Jaguars?
Keep it moving, Lorenzo Brady.
All right, Oakland at Denver.
I'm on Denver. I don't think Oakland gets it done.
All right, Denver as well. The Giants, Sunday Night Football at Dallas.
Yeah, I'm taking the G-Man.
Dallas, I'm on the Cowboys.
Ooh, another difference. Nice. And then Monday Night Football, Seattle at Chicago.
I'm on Khalil Mack and Mitchell Trubisky. I'm on the Bears.
Yeah, you know what? This I'm going to road team. I'm going to take Seattle. That's
all
right.
That little rope-a-dope there. He tried to make you think he was going to go with it. We all flinched for a second. Yeah, he took Seattle. All right, final pick. It's Gennady Golovkin in the rematch against Canelo Alvarez. Triple G finds himself currently as a favorite in the neighborhood of minus 155. How do you see it?
I want to play the draw so badly. But,
do it! Come on, do it.
They're not going to do it like that again. It's going to go the distance, though, and it's going to be some controversy. Triple G, unanimous decision. He wins.
Triple G stops him, Joe. Triple G stops. Don't know the round, but I'm turning around and he stops him.
So is it, if you're both taking Triple G, if it goes the distance, Dibs gets the win. If it does not go the distance, you get the win.
That's right.
So it's really an over-under bet. Fantastic. We got a difference on it.
I love it.
Now, if Canelo wins, obviously you both lose.
Correct.
You realize that.
Correct.
All right, perfect.
And if it's a draw, I'll be kicking myself all week.
That's a wrap for us. Steiny and the Guru are coming up next. John Dickinson will join them at 11:30. Will Steiny and Guru ask him about testicles like we did last week? Oh, tune in at 11:30 to find out. That is the ultimate Friday tea.
It is a soup.
For Dibs, for Anna, for Lo, I'm Joe. Thanks for hanging out with us today, everybody. Enjoy the games this weekend. Be safe. Be smart. We'll see you Monday right here at 6 a.m. on 95.7 The Game.
49ers first round draft pick Mike McGlinchey joins Damon Bruce today at 3:10.
With the ninth pick in the 2018 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Mike McGlinchey.
Don't miss 49ers tackle Mike McGlinchey with Damon Bruce today at 4 on the Bay Area's football station, 95.7. The Game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.